progress.
Sorry. Good evening, everyone. Welcome. We'll try that again. It is the May 30th, 2023 City Council meeting, and we'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Jory, why don't you lead?
Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I see some of us are like kind of countering our last meeting's dress attire, and we're balancing it with this meeting's dress attire. So now the most important part is the roll call.
Koch.
Here.
Transier.
Here.
Plocher.
Here.
Soling.
Here.
Funkhauser.
Here.
Merrick.
Here.
Terulis.
Here.
Cornelius.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Very nice. Thank you very much. I have no amendments to the agenda. We do have a presentation. We have police commissioner, mayor, alderman. What else do we have here?
Chairman.
Bob Johnson. Where are you at, Bob? Oh, right back there. Bob, we have a certificate of recognition for you. Why don't you come forward and I'll read this to you. But first, I got a list of facts here. This is awesome. Maybe it's redundant, but nonetheless. Now, Bob here. Bob, when did you move into the city?
1988.
So now Bob, pretty much as soon as he came into town, he decided he wanted to participate. So listen, Bob was an alderman from 92 to 95. Hopefully we got these facts right. You were the mayor, so you really are mayor, Bob, from 95 to 99. And you've been on the Fire and Police Commission from 2001 to 2023. And you were a founding member, original member, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
You forgot though, back in 1990 I was appointed to the library board.
You were?
Before I came at alderman.
So pretty much as long as you've been in town.
Oh, pretty close.
Because when you moved in 1988, you weren't even old enough to vote, were you?
Yeah. I was.
Carrie, how are you doing?
Good.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, no, that's fine.
I'd like to introduce my wife, Carrie, and my support for so many years.
And they live in the neighborhood. They're good people. They're good people. So, and you were also here, I got to read this, you were treasurer on the Illinois Fire and Police Commission and Association Board?
I am now. I was,
oh, you, okay.
I was president at one time.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. So, well, thank you. And now are you going to move to Florida or anything like that?
I don't think my wife will let me, you know.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. That's nice. So, let me present this to you. We're going to recite a lot of that, but in a little more formal. You've done a few of these.
A few.
Yeah, excellent. So the mayor and city council of the United States of York will present this certificate to Bob Johnson with our deepest gratitude for the time he volunteered on the city's board of Fire and Police Commission from 2001 through 2023 as a founding member and first chairman. For the years he served as mayor from 1995 through 1999, and for the many hours he provided to the residents of Ward 4 during his years on the city council from 1992 through 1995. We commend him for his dedication and commitment to the Illinois Fire and Police Commissioners Association as a treasurer. We thank him for his immense knowledge, expertise, and guidance he provided to the members of the Yorkville Police Department. We thank him for his many years of service to the United City of Yorkville and the community. Presented on this 30th day of May 2023. Congratulations, Bob. Now, Bob here, he was one of these guys. Now, I didn't serve with him, but I never saw Bob get upset. I just didn't. He's not like me where he's up and down. He never seemed to get excited about stuff. Just really always kept your calm, didn't you, Bob?
Always.
Yeah. You taking a video there or what?
I'm not sure.
So, thank you very much. Good to see you both. And what do you think of the new
I like
here?
It.
Pretty nice.
Very nice.
You know, it's kind of interesting because when I was mayor and I ended my term there, we were meeting at the Kendall County building.
It's right here on the third floor, weren't you?
Yeah.
For a while.
And then, so I couldn't come when you came to the building on Game Farm. Now I retired again and come to a new building. So I never get a chance to go into the new buildings, but. Yeah, so maybe you can give me a.
Jim, take him on a tour.
A tour.
Ray, you can take him on a tour right now if you want. Stop in my office. Just don't eat the pretzels. Or don't eat all the pretzels.
Well, thank you both. So very much.
No, thank you.
Okay. Oh, I even have this on silent too. Awesome. Okay. Very nice. Thanks again, Bob. We'll see you. Is Ruben leaving too? I didn't see you. Hello. Okay. Well, you can stick around. You can leave. Whatever. Ray, how about you? Are you leaving too? You're going home, aren't you? Okay, next we have public hearings. So do I have to open this public hearing? Is that how that works?
Yes.
Okay, well, I will open the public hearing for Bristol Ridge Solar Farm 105 and 106 for the Annexation Agreement Amendment. AAA, that's like the Motor Association, isn't it? Isn't that AAA?
ABATE.
Isn't that AAA, you know, for your cars?
Yeah. Oh, for cars.
Yeah. No, you're thinking of something different.
Well, you said motorcycle.
Oh, did I? Oh, okay. Motor vehicle. Okay, sir. Anyway, okay, so now the public hearing is open. Is there anyone in the public who would like to speak to the Bristol Ridge Solar Farm 105 and 106 Annexation Agreement Amendment? I don't see anyone rushing forward. I will close the public hearing. Thank you very much. So we got that out of the way?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Next, we have... What's that? What? It's not a vote. It was just a public hearing. There's several... Christy, will you explain the steps? Yes, this is one of many steps. So go ahead, Christy.
So there was a public hearing for the Planning and Zoning Commission, which I believe most of you attended. And that was for the special use, the rezoning, and the... variance for the solar farm. This is for the annexation agreement amendment. This is a public hearing. It'll come back to City Council for a final vote. This was just a discussion on amending the existing annexation agreement to permit a solar farm on this location.
So when, just to help them out?
I'm right here.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's just the one that are lit.
So there was a public hearing for the Planning and Zoning Commission. This is a separate public hearing just related to an existing annexation agreement that was on the property prior to the request for a solar farm. So this was just input on allowing the solar farm to be permitted on that site, which would require the original annexation agreement to be changed. The final vote on both the matters that were for the Planning and Zoning Commission and tonight will probably be in late July, early August. Yes.
Yeah, this was just one step, and this was not even a vote. It was just somebody wanted to comment on the annexation agreement. But there will be multiple steps, and as Christy said, it'll probably be July before we take a final vote. And if you have other questions, you feel free to call or email Christy. Well, you know, we're coming up to citizen comments on agenda items. We'll allow it under that because this is an item on the agenda. So that's the next step. So actually, perfect time to step up to, where do we step up to? Oh, over here. I'm looking in front. If you want to step up to the podium and just state your name for the record, please.
Lori Hapdelancey. I am at 8 Plum Street, Bristol. And concerns with the solar farm. We're concerned about the water runoff in our area. And what the use, you know, the farmland use and stuff like that, that it should be our property values as far as the surrounding homes. We're concerned with our property values going down with the solar farm going in there. We live in the just south of the tracks, a lot of us, and we already have water problems with the water running off into our a lot of these people have. We all have when we have rain, it floods our basements continuously. We don't have any drain tiles to run it out. We have one, I think, in the downtown section. So that was a couple of the main concerns that I had. Besides the glare, if the glare is going to affect us, and you know, additional heat. I've read that it brings on extra heat to the area.
Thank you for your comments. Are there any other comments on items on the agenda? And I know a couple of you were confused as a process. It's confusing for all of us. I asked staff several times. So if anyone else had comments, any of that group had comments, if you want to bring those up now, that would be fine. If not, there'll be multiple times to speak to this issue and express your concerns. Are there any other comments on items on the... Oh, yeah, please. Go ahead. Just again, same. Please state your name for the record. Thank you.
Okay. My name is Roger Arnson. I live at 8 Cross Street. I've brought this up a couple times. I'm concerned about a couple of things. Like Lori said, we all have our own water and our own septic system. And it's not like in Yorkville. We have no drains or anything else. And we're very concerned about our systems being interfered with. If you start messing with the stuff on the north side of the tracks, because we're on the low side of that, and if you start messing with the water and the system on the north side, it will probably affect us. Second, they're talking about having to move so much topsoil from the north side, where you're going to put the solar panel system in, and to do that, you're going to have to bring in trucks and move all the dirt out of here, and supposedly move different types of material in from, I guess, Roselle. I was told that they were going to have a $500,000 bond for the roads for that. To me, that doesn't seem to be a big enough bond. I mean, you're going to have trucks moving in and out of the roads in Bristol and in Kendall County. Those roads aren't very strong, and $500,000 isn't going to go away for it if you're going to have semis moving dirt in and out all the time. I think the bond should be raised to cover all the expenses on the roads and stuff being moved in and out, just to make sure you cover everything that's going on. $500,000 is not going very far for damaged roads. Because you can move all that dirt off those fields with semis and then move materials in and out. It's been terrible. Other than that, there's probably not much I can say that's going to make any difference to you guys. But we are a very sensitive area when it comes to our septic and our water supply. So it was brought before that there's a tile in that field, and that they were going to go through and dig it up when they hit it. I suggest that they find out where that tile is in that field before they do anything, and find out where that tile leaks, and make sure that they replace that tile or do something with the tile to make sure that water flows where it's supposed to be afterwards. Otherwise, I'm at, it's probably not going to affect me as much as some of the other people, but seeing Terry and people east of me, and probably the golf course and Blackberry Creek, are going to be affected if it just flows directly south of that. And Blackberry Creek, you don't want to disrupt the flow of that and have all the water flowing into Blackberry Creek, because that's going to disrupt everything south of that and even in the Yorkville. So you want to make sure where they're going to flow the water out of that field, and it's not going to go into the golf course and the Blackberry Creek too, because the golf course, you know, Blackberry Creek isn't the golf course. That's all I have to say.
Thank you for your comments. Would anyone else like to comment on the, even though again it's not a public hearing, on the solar farm? Anyone in the group there? Okay, can we make sure, Christy, those comments are passed on to the petitioner, please?
One more, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, someone else. Okay, well, whatever comments are made regarding this, please make sure they get passed on to the petitioner.
Thank you. So my name is Michelle Carpenter. I'm with Turning Point Energy. We are the petitioner. I just wanted to start off and say, you know, we hear the comments that are being raised. We focus our company on being a community-focused development company. We focus on community-scale projects that involves a lot of engagement with neighbors. We are happy to chat with you after this meeting. It was helpful to try and understand your concerns. We have engaged experts in various fields to ensure that the concerns that you raise are addressed. When we come back to the planning board meeting next month, we do intend to bring with us our local site civil engineer. They will be able to speak to the stormwater and erosion controls. We have a property value study that does indeed show that there is no negative impact on property values. And we have also engaged a drain tile survey company who will do a full drain tile survey of the property. And our focus and our goal is we are going to identify drain tiles in our project area and remove and replace all of them. So if they are not working on the property, they will be replaced. And regardless of whether they're working or not, you know, this is a long-term project. We need them to work for the duration of the project, so they are being replaced regardless. So I guess just wanted to throw that out there. You know, we're happy to chat with anyone after this meeting and hear your concerns and try and understand you know, what questions we can answer.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Would anyone else like to speak on the closed public hearing item? I don't want to jump the gun again. Okay, thank you. Are there any other citizen comments on items on the agenda? We will move on. Next, we have the consent agenda. We have bills tallying $3,204,871.51. We have a PW 2342 easement for contract A water main 1308 Game Farm Road. We have PW 2346 Grand Reserve Unit 13 release of guarantee and the release of the remaining performance security in the amount of $87,600. PW 2347 Grand Reserve Unit 14 release of guarantee in the amount of $125,600. And those are thousands. And we have PW 2348 Grand Reserve Unit 23, release of guarantee for $520,410.95. Do I hear a motion and a second?
I'll move.
Second.
I heard Koch and Merrick. Roll call, please.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Aye.
Cornels.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Very nice. Thank you. Next we have, let me get the right page here. Oh, Mayor's report. Holy cow, a lot of stuff here. Okay. Item one under the Mayor's report. City Council 2323. Oh, look at that. 2323. A resolution approving an IGA between Yorkville Community Unit School District 115 and the United City of Yorkville for pre-closing possession of 800 Game Farm Road. This is essentially the same as we voted on, but there's some language cleanup. Is that correct, Kathy?
Yes. This has been finalized now to reflect exactly what is the understanding between the parties. We have indemnification from the school district and proof of insurance so that we are ready to go.
Excellent. Is there a motion and a second?
Hello.
Soling, is your second? Cornels, did I hear you? No. Oh, Plocher. Okay. I heard somebody over there. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Clocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Clarification, was that a nay?
Yeah.
It was. Again? It was. Consistent. Okay, mm-hmm. Just make sure I heard that properly. Oh, geez, I marked it in the wrong spot. Son of a gun. Hopefully you marked it in the right spot, Jory. Okay, next. We have appointments to the boards and commissions. Is that on here? Oh, right here.
Yeah.
It's listed in here. Okay, oh, it's a paragraph. Okay. I'm looking for a motion to approve the appointments of Joe Gillespie and Jeff Bergner to the Police Pension Fund Board. Terms ending May 2025. Appointment of Mary Alice Lundquist to the Fire and Police Commission to a term ending May 2026. Appointment of Rosie Millen and Theron Garcia to the Library Board. Terms ending May 2026. Appointments of Rusty Hyatt, Deborah Horaz to the Planning and Zoning Commission. Terms ending May 2027.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. That was Merrick, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay. Any discussion? All in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Next item. Again, we're not ready for that yet. Item 4, ordinance amending the traffic schedule index, East Main Street and McHugh Road for a four-way stop sign.
You need a motion to table.
I need a motion to table?
Yeah.
Do I or not?
It's
not
on the agenda. Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Plotcher, is that a motion to table?
Yes.
And I saw Funkhauser nodding his head. That's a second. Okay, thank you. All in favor of the motion to table? Signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you very much. Man, oh man, I better write that down. You got 4 more years to correct me on that one, Funkhauser.
Sorry, just go to the
circle. What's that? Okay, next we have ordinance amending the traffic schedule and index for a four-way stop at East Main Street and McHugh Road. Is there a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second.
Soling, Funkhauser, any discussion? Roll call, please.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Next is a resolution approving an IGA, that's intergovernmental agreement, between the Village of Oswego and the United City of Yorkville regarding joint employment of a training coordinator. I'm looking for a motion and a second. Mayor?
So moved.
Koch?
Sorry.
Thank you. Mr. Jensen, do you want to talk about this? Or you're over here, I got to remember. Anything you want to talk about just briefly? I know we've talked about it before.
Briefly, it would be the very similar agreement that we have with the Village of Oswego already. Hours right now, we have 2 deputy chiefs and a sergeant trying to keep up with everything. This position would coordinate all of that, our department and Oswego's. It would also allow us to the ability to utilize training positions or trainers from other cities like Oswego. So if we don't have a trainer available, we can utilize Oswego's trainer. If we have a trainer available, when they don't, they can utilize our trainers. So it's a definitely.
Questions?
So do you have a ballpark range on between Oswego and us, what it's going to be, the salary?
Our thought process was $60,000 for the salary, $40,000 for benefits, the pension, and things like that, health insurance. They will actually be an employee of the Village of Oswego officially, and then what they typically do is they send us an invoice of some sort, and then we pay 50%. So we are now looking for a salary to be around $60,000.
And then will they be signed here or in Oswego?
They're going to have places in both.
Okay.
So they will have office space here, and I will get make sure we get it in 20 hours a week. Just like Oswego's 20 hours a week.
Other questions? Mr. Funkhauser.
I have 2 since can answer or ask one.
So you had 3 originally?
I had 3.
Oh, my gosh.
The first
In the resolution, there's a line that says employing professional training coordinators intended to result in cost savings that exceed the cost of the training coordinator. Can we elaborate on how we can justify and show that there's going to be cost savings to this?
So currently, it takes us between the two deputy chiefs and the training sergeant that we have, with the hours they put in times their hourly rate, we're spending right now about $26,000 just in our staff time trying to get that all done. And that's just the basic applying to the Illinois Training Standards Boards, the Northeast Military Region, which is our training unit. That's applying the bare bones, so to speak, with that paperwork that needs to be submitted. That's what they're doing. This new position will work on organizing training events, scheduling training events, entering training events into every officer's training file, scheduling, whether it's at the Oswego Police Department, the firing range. It will alleviate us from having to do all of that. If that makes sense.
So to follow up on that one, sergeants are hourly, deputy chiefs, commanders, those are salary positions. So this is not necessarily a realized cost to the budget, but it is a calculated based on the amount of time that's
Okay.
Additionally, I think that language was involved in the first shared position we did, which was the purchasing coordinator. So that was partially a holdover, I believe, too, from that.
All right, that makes sense. Next question. The split, we're at 50-50. I know you just mentioned a minute ago that we were looking for 20 hours. Oswego would get 20 hours a week. Oswego has 52 sworn officers. We have 32 based on 2020 staffing. 32 based on 2022 staffing for the annual reports. So I pulled a consistent baseline.
Maybe a couple months, but yes.
Yes.
We're right there.
And then does any of the training apply to the civilian staff?
Yes.
Okay, so that puts it at 73 staff for Oswego, 41 for Yorkville. That's a 64-36 split of the total here. So staffing-wise, we're not quite equal.
Sure.
So it gives me a little hesitation on the 50-50, just looking at the staffing, and they're a much larger community, much larger police force. Will they be pulling more time than us, since we're just saying this is 50-50, or do we have the ability to reconcile time based on?
I think we can always reconcile time based on the agreement that we have with in the relationship we have with the Oswego Police Department. Yes,
okay.
Answer that question. However, I don't think we're going to have to. A lot of the training that we have to have, so defensive tactics is an example, we will utilize the same training outline, right? It's not going to change for Oswego as compared to Yorkville. So we would be able to utilize a lot of the same training outlines, the preparation for the training. We'll be able to utilize their facility for a variety of different things. They have a defensive tactics room in the back room. They have a range that we can go to. So I don't see there being where we're not going to see and realize the full 50%. We do start seeing that, and this is obviously something we will monitor. We need to make sure that it's
okay.
Any others?
How does this affect anything?
It was actually passed.
To the group.
That was a full-time staff.
Shared service. Yeah, it was a full-time staff. Obviously, shares. Yes.
Other questions?
I am concerned about formalizing the 50-50 split. I really not happy with that. In terms of the number of staff being trained in Oswego versus the number of staff being trained in Northville, I don't see a 50-50.
So if we track the hours, do you have a problem if we track the hours and reconcile?
I don't have a problem with tracking hours. I have a problem with formalizing a 50-50 split.
Bart?
If I could, this same agreement is used for the purchasing manager and the facilities manager, which both had contemplated a 50-50 split at some point or another, and then we tracked it based on the employee's actual time spent. So that process is baked into our informal processes, and it should be referenced in here at some point or another. We're basically every quarter or so, you know, the employees provide some sort of accounting. We have a discussion basically about how much time they've been spending in each facility. Case in point, the facilities manager who spent the better part of, I don't know, 6 or 7 months working almost exclusively on this building here. And then you just track it at the end of it. So that same process would be used here. So the number will wind up being certified by both staff at some point or another.
Who does the tracking? Is that Rob or is that Chief?
So internally and previously, we've asked the employee to actually do that tracking themselves. They ended up, for the purchasing manager, facilities manager, ended up meeting with the two managers in the town and then their direct supervisors to kind of go over those staffing levels. And then we would just have a conversation, you know, semi-annually about how much time they've been spending in each facility, if we need to, you know, alter that balance, if we need to do a true-up payment, those types of things. So so that is also kind of baked into the process, just a, like a reconciliation, basically, of time and decisions.
I would look to do a lot of tracking as well. This person would report to me because it's a newer position. They would report to me. I would also do tracking. There's some of the margin sense that we have with us. We go to make sure that we are getting what we need. Is this position worth moving into it?
Jim, is it possible? And I don't know, but is it possible if the training, I understand some of the concern, we have less staff, maybe the training takes less. Is it possible we could do additional training that Oswego doesn't if we have some available time from this person?
Absolutely.
So we might be able to get more training, different modules or levels of training.
Yes.
To that point, we're paying for 20 hours worth of time. So it's up to Jim as the, you know, overseer of the facility or of the, you know, the shared resource. Basically, to track that and prove out to everybody else that we're getting our money's worth. So, and how that 20 hours is spent is going to vary from week to week, and it might be higher or lower depending on the week.
Other questions?
Was that explicitly written into the other contracts we had, like with Steve or our purchasing managers?
It was one of them. I believe the purchasing manager it was. The facilities manager it might have been slightly more vague. And then I was trying to flip through it in here and with so many pages, I couldn't quite pinpoint it.
I saw the hours tracking, but I didn't find where we actually reconciled.
That would be the genesis of it. Okay. So over the top of this, so not specifically in this agreement, we have an overarching intergovernmental agreement that shares between the municipalities that says when one employee goes to work for the other municipality for whatever reason, you know, we have the ability basically to send invoices and get those invoices paid.
So that gives me a little more comfort that it's in the master agreement.
And we have been, to Bart's point, we've been doing that in practice with the other positions.
And it's worked rather well.
It has, yeah. I mean, we have to tweak things from time to time, but it's worked well. Any other questions? Roll call, please.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you all. Good questions. Oh, excellent. Web design. Website redesign. We have a design concept review. Bart, I'm turning this over to you.
Yep. So there are two websites in the packet, which I'm going to...
do I have to move?
Great. No.
Okay.
You should be good. Although this is the first time we're using it, so well, I guess we'll find out here in a second.
Get
blinded. Or just reflect off my head and blind everyone else.
In general, we have two color designs for the website. We're looking for feedback on whether we like a blue headline or a red headline. And then also, we haven't updated any of the content or the interior pages yet. And so we just want to make sure that everybody's comfortable with the overall layout. So there's the red one there.
That's it, we're good.
Okay, and I believe there's a...
Oh, that turned out pretty nice. So. Especially from down here.
So that is the choice. This was going to go to administrative committee last month. We ended up having to cancel on the website. A company basically needs some feedback from us before we can do it. So there's our functioning projector, which is wonderful, and our two website choices. So
and our mood lights, too.
Yes, very important.
I'll serve cheese after this.
Does anybody have any particularly strong opinions on either one of the colors?
Can we blend them into each other?
Purple?
Purple.
Yes.
That would be Plano. You could go west. That would be Plano.
And then does anybody have any feedback on layout or structure?
Fine.
Okay, great. We're going to proceed then probably with the red one, if that's okay. All right. That's all the feedback we needed. Thank you.
Well, that was easier than I thought it was going to be. Excellent, thank you. Oh, now, more excitement. We really do have a lot on the agenda, don't we? Parks and Recreation playground purchases. So, do we need to do these separately? Probably should. Yes, we will. I answered my own question. I am looking for a motion for approval of Parks and Recreation playground purchases, and then I'll have Tim speak to these, but let's get the motion. Mr. Funkhauser, is there a motion? Is there a second? Mr. Merrick?
I'll second.
Excellent. I know Mr. Funkhauser likes it to be done properly, so Tim, I'll let you, or do you want Scott, which one do you take over?
I can start on it if there's any specific questions. I guess there's two issues with this one. We're based on as part of our redeveloping our playground replacement plan. We have two purchases we're looking to get. One at Prestwick, which is a completely new playground park site.
Oh, hang on. You know, can you get a mic? Sorry, yeah. With the green light. I don't talk a little bit. Here, sit in my chair. Come over here. No, seriously, you can gavel. You can gavel however you want. No, whatever. I don't care. Wasn't I supposed to say something about boating or something?
You have to grab the wireless one or. Use your theater voice.
What's a big tall boom mic for?
Spy.
Yeah.
Oh, is that Spy? Oh, could he stand on top and talk into that? You wouldn't like that.
Just on this one, there's two issues to it. One, playground purchases that we made last year for Countryside, Sleezer, Kiwanis, we have not received that equipment yet, so we need to do a budget amendment from moving the money from last year to this new fiscal year. The second part of it is just to stay ahead on our playground replacement plan. We need to purchase ones for Prestwick and Rice Park. Prestwick is a completely new playground site. That's part of the development agreement there, that we'll have to develop that park site. Rice is a completely, we'll just be taking out the playground and putting a new one in. With that, the Countryside, I know the mayor wanted me to speak on. The church did pass that a week and a half ago, the proposal to move forward with it with the city. So currently our city attorneys are working on that agreement. We'll bring back to finalize. But that's very good news that playground park site should be moving forward here as soon as we get the equipment. And then we also have on there is to purchase the shelter for the Countryside Playground.
Rusty, you've been doing this for a month and a half, and you bring a park to a place that hasn't had one in 50 years. Congratulations. Very impressive, young man. Any questions for Tim? Okay, so this is for item A. We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Very nice. And the second, I'm looking for an ordinance authorizing the second amendment to the annual budget for the city of Yorkville for the fiscal year commencing on May 1st, 2023, and terminating on April 30th, 2024.
No.
So, second by Trans here. Any questions? This is just formalizing the budget what we just discussed. Roll call, please.
Merrick?
Aye.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. And Tim, later on, you'll be talking about our other activities coming up, right?
Yes, sir.
Past and future?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay. Oh, this part, I know you're all excited to discuss this. Item 2023-37. I'm looking for a motion and a second for an ordinance authorizing the issuance of water revenue bonds or, in lieu thereof, general obligation alternate revenue bonds in the aggregate principal amount not to exceed $11 million pursuant to Section 15 of the Local Government Debt Reform Act for the purposes of paying the cost of enhancing the city's water delivery system. And there will be discussion. So, but I would like a motion in a second.
So moved.
Wow. Who'd you pick?
Transair? Sure.
Transair, yeah. And Cornelius, maybe? Did I hear Cornelius over there, too? Yeah. Yeah, wow. That's awesome. Okay. It was all at once. Okay. Who's going to explain this? Bart or Rob?
Turn it over to Rob, actually.
All right, well, this is the next step in the bond issuance process. As you may recall, back in April, we did a reimbursement resolution. And in our first meeting in May, we approved the engagement letters for Sphere Financial, the city's financial advisor, and Saul Ewing as the city's bond counsel for this issue. So the authorizing ordinance is the next step. It establishes a couple of things. It establishes a maximum amount of principal that we can issue for the bond, currently at $11 million. The bond is actually at $9.95 million, so there's a little bit of flexibility there if needed. It also identifies what the proceeds can be spent on, namely water system improvements, and also the pledged revenues that we would pledge against this bond to pay it back. So, assuming passage, a notice of public hearing would be published in the Beacon News this Friday. That would start the 30-day backdoor referendum period, which would end in July. The next meeting in June the 13th, we would have the public hearing. And then council's final action would be to approve the parameters ordinance, which is tentatively scheduled for July the 11th. And then we would close on the bond. We would get the proceeds right around the beginning of August.
Questions? Mr. Funkhauser.
Would staff care to elaborate on the place of eating tax discussion for item number 2 of the revenues?
Sure. So places of eating have been discussed, and it's just that we're going to pledge it as a revenue for this bond. Well, basically, we're going to pledge it as a revenue for any future water issue bonds. We need to pledge it for this one as well, because there needs to be a sense of parity among the revenue pledge for all the water bonds that we'll be issuing for the DuPage Water Commission Lake Michigan project. So again, it doesn't necessarily have to be implemented, but it would have to be adopted by City Council prior to us approving the final ordinance, the parameters ordinance, if we wanted to use that as a revenue pledge for this bond and future water bonds as well.
And that would be in, what'd you say, July, August?
Well, July is tentatively the date, so it would need to be approved by the time we pass the parameters ordinance, which is tentatively set for July 11th, but that is flexible. We can push that back a little bit if needed.
Chris, did you have a follow-up?
Yes. So
please.
The way this is structured, it does contemplate and require the place of eating tax to be in it.
It does.
As a revenue stream.
The way it's structured, yeah. Right now, tentatively, yes, it would include that. Obviously, if council decides not to implement one on the parameters ordinance, that language would be taken out.
Okay. So that's where we have the time. And that's what I want to clarify is we have that couple months. Sure. Not quite a couple months. We have a little bit of time to make that decision.
Sure.
And then the parameters ordinance would change if need be. But that's why I just want to make sure.
We're not obligated at this point.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a fair question. Very fair.
Okay.
Mr. Koch.
Kind of following up with that. So logistic-wise, can we, like other revenues were to come forward, can we add those into the revenue section, or is it limited?
Well, because the water fund is an enterprise fund, it should be water-related. Plus, if we were to pledge general fund revenues like sales tax, and it would also limit the ability we would have to pledge those revenues on road bonds or public works facility or stuff like that. So technically, it should be water revenue focused because it is a water bond.
Other questions? Now, Rob, just because certain revenues are contemplated here and would be finalized in the final language, that does not mean we can't put other revenues in that water fund in the future. Is that correct?
Yeah, I don't see why we could.
Okay, this doesn't require these to be the only funds. We could.
That's kind of what I was.
Yeah. So, for example, if we got a big bone in our utility taxes, maybe, perhaps those could be used in the future. That doesn't negate that ability to do that. Is that correct?
Actually, Anthony Michelli's here. He's our financial advisor.
You've been waiting to talk, I know.
So, if the answer is you can certainly use those revenues to pay that service, but you can't use them for pledge. So, when we show coverage, you need to prove that you're going to make $1.25 for every dollar of debt service.
Okay.
You can certainly use the other revenues to pay the debt service, but it cannot count towards the coverage unless we go through this step for the authorizing ordinance.
Okay, so for the issuance, it can't be used for the formula.
It can't be used for the formula. And while that doesn't really matter a lot for this issue, because it's not to exceed $11 million, we're looking at somewhere under 10, we're talking about
the bigger big ones.
The grand scheme of things, it's going to matter, right? So if there are revenues that you want to include, that's why we're trying to get them in ahead of time with this issue. All going to be on parity.
So, okay, this is interesting.
So if I could.
Can I ask first? Thanks. So if we include the place of eating tax that we're contemplating, if we include that in this ordinance and don't pass it for 5 years, that still allows us to use those revenues?
The trick is, I think, using it is... I think you would have to get it passed before we pass the actual bond ordinance, which would be in July. Now, that said, if you don't implement that tax and actually collect any revenues for 5 years, we don't need those revenues to make coverage on this bond issue. Those are just helpful when we look at the WIFI along with SRF and everything else that is potentially coming down the line.
Bart, go ahead.
It's the difference between telling a bond buyer, either at auction or via private placement, this is how we're going to basically generate revenue to do this, and then they bid on it, or they purchase it from you through negotiated sale, and then actually making the payments. So all we're doing right now is telling the bond buyer, essentially, these are the ways that we're going to pay for it, and if we negotiate it, they would expect us to have it enacted before that final bond deal is done, which is why Rob was saying we still have a couple months, because basically you can pull it out of the parameters ordinance if in a month from now you say, we don't want to do a place of eating tax, we're going to do a water tax. We would just change the parameters ordinance at that point, and then we would make the payments as is. Alternatively, if we decide to enact it, let's say for a couple years, we've got it pledged there, we can implement other revenue sources. Like let's say there's a pool impact fee or something on a new development. Yeah. And we dedicate that to the water fund, we would be able to take those revenues and make the bond payments after that. So, as far as stopping the place of eating tax, if we've got it in a bond, that gets into probably bond counsel or the attorney's territory. But what you're doing right now is just saying, this is how we plan to pay for it. Please price our bonds, accordingly.
Right, and to that point, we're going to have that way. So if you do decide to move forward with it, we're going to have that language in the official statement that says, these bonds are secured by revenues of the water system, places for the tax. So you don't want to sell bonds before you've at least enacted that tax or approved it by city council.
Okay. Are the WIFIA bonds, do they require the same ratio or is that a little lower ratio?
Oh, it's actually, so WIFIA, unlike state revolving fund, IEPA loans, they require a pledged security like a bond. So we're going to give them what looks and feels like a bond and a pledge. And they also need to be on parity with the other obligations. Okay, so these are the other obligations we're creating now. We need to make sure that whatever we give these bonds, we're ready to give to WIFIA.
That's what Rob is referencing.
Correct.
Oh, wow. This is interesting.
Yeah. That's why the forethought on the places for you tax was important, to make sure. It'll mess us up down the road if we want to use it but didn't include it.
Okay. Well, when we discussed it last, we contemplated discussing it and passing it in June or July if we did it, or alternately, we'll have to raise the revenue rates by 15 to 18, or the water rates by 15 to 18%. So, okay, that's interesting. Other questions? Ooh, Mr. Plocher.
All I was going to say is, if you don't do it, you pull the language out. That's not stopping us from doing it down the line. It just won't be part of their calculation.
Correct. Yes.
That is absolutely
you
right.
You could still issue it and earmark that towards the water fund, but it just wouldn't be on paperwork.
Correct.
The difficulty, yes. The difficulty becomes if we need to show a certain amount of pledged revenue.
Right, correct.
And which requires us then to raise water rates farther than coverage. You may have needed to if you could use those revenues that you were including. Right. Including, but not now pledged.
Can you use general fund revenues?
Could pledge them. But you'd want to be more specific as to what, you know, what specific revenues.
Sales
tax. Non-homeless sales tax. But then again, that's Rob's point, that this takes away from the other bonds you have outstanding and carry those pledges as well.
Okay. You can't double dip on the pledge.
You can use them, but not pledge them as well. That's another thing. But that doesn't help us with the rates.
That's why we're paying you to do this. Other questions? Excellent. Roll call, please.
Merrick.
Aye.
Cornels.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you all. Once again, good discussion. Item 9. Man, this is still the mayor's report. Holy cow. We have Green Door. So the first, we have an ordinance approving a Memorandum of Understanding, or MOU, between the City of Yorkville and Yorkville Nexus LLC relating to engineering services for infrastructure projects. We'll get a motion in a second, and I'll let Bart give a little description of what's going on here.
Second.
Was that Solon? Mm-hmm. Yeah, got the bookends again. Bart?
So this first motion is for what we'll call the easement acquisition agreement. It's outlined in bullet point one in the staff memo. Basically, this says Green Door or Yorkville Nexus wants the city to go through and acquire easements along the expected routes for the water and sanitary sewer related to their project. And that they will agree to pay our legal costs, engineering costs, and the actual easement acquisition costs as we acquire them. So this one I described in the memo as at risk to the city, in that we're not requiring an upfront deposit for little bits of work here and there. It'll basically be an as-we-go process, where as we get bills in from Kathy or from Brad, we will turn them over to Green Door, and they'll have a certain amount of time to pay those bills. And then, obviously, when we come to an agreement with a landowner to acquire an easement, we will run that price by Green Door, Yorkville Nexus, and say, you know, this easement is going to be $20,000. Any issues with that? And they'll say yes or no, and then we will proceed to acquire and then bill them for that easement. So on the high end, Brad's grab number for this work is expected to be $100,000. That's assuming all the easements come to fruition as they are currently planned. But it is, you know, expected to take months basically to do so. And, you know, the prices could be much lower or higher depending on how those easement acquisition negotiations go. So that is the outline of this first Memorandum of Understanding.
Questions, Mr. Funkhauser?
I don't have questions.
Anyone else?
Very good.
Roll call.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Very nice. Thank you. Green Door item B. Looking for a motion to approve an ordinance for an MOU between the City of Yorkville and Yorkville Nexus LLC relating to the construction of water and sanitary services.
So moved. Second.
Coke, Merrick, and Bart, this is pretty much what you just described.
It is the same thing, except this one is front-loaded with a deposit schedule, and there are three engineering contracts associated with them for a total estimated cost of $560,170. This will actually take us through phase one design of the one water main, loop water main for the project, and then the two sanitary sewer branch extensions. And so what we've done is we've actually put together a deposit schedule. So Green Door, Yorkville Nexus will have to place a deposit for us to start work on those contracts. Then they'll be expected to keep up deposits every month based on a pre-arranged schedule, hopefully resulting in several months of work, a design for a nice water and sewer main for the project, and then waiting for construction and development at that point. So this one is not at risk for the city as long as Green Door continues to make their deposits and we have the ability basically to stop work at any point.
Questions? Roll call, please.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Aye.
Cornels.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Item C. Looking for a motion to approve the agreement for professional services for the Lincoln Prairie Water Main Agreement for professional services for the Lincoln Prairie Sanitary Sewer Cornels, not Rusty though, an agreement for professional services Lincoln Prairie Sanitary Sewer South.
So moved.
Second.
Second by, I believe it was Soling. And Bart, this is the three agreements you just referenced, correct?
It is, yes. And these will be held until Yorkville Nexus makes the first deposit.
Questions?
Just one,
Mr. Culp, please.
One question. So the sewer lines on the north side are larger, connecting in, and then there's one that goes to the south side, right?
Mm-hmm.
And does that one flow into a smaller sewer line, what, you know, diameter-wise?
Sure, the one on the south, no, it flows into a larger interceptor sewer.
So there's no backup issue where if you come back and, okay.
Other questions? Roll call, please.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Aye.
Cornels.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. I made a commitment to this group that we would attempt to make our agreements easier to obtain than the City of Chicago building permit for residential, and I think we're still going in that direction. Thank you. Are we doing that now?
Well, I have the before marriage report, unless you want to say it later.
No, that's fine. So, anything else? Anything else on this? We're done with this for now? See, I don't know when we're going to see again. Another meeting soon, probably. Okay, so, you think we're done with marriage report? We are not. I have a proclamation, or just a statement, whatever you want to call it. So National Safe Boating Week was last week, but because we moved our meeting, I did not proclaim it last week. So I will read now. Safe boating begins with preparation. The Coast Guard estimates that human error accounts for most boating accidents and that life jackets could prevent nearly 86% of boating fatalities. On average, 658 people die each year in boating-related accidents in the U.S. 75% of those fatalities caused by drowning. The vast majority of these accidents are caused by human error or poor judgment and not by the boat equipment or environmental factors. Let's start off the year-round effort to promote safe boating. I urge all those who boat to practice safe boating habits and always wear a life jacket while boating. Thank you. Perfect timing because it's going to get, well, it's a warm day. It's going to be hot probably for the next few months. Depending on who you listen to in the news, it might be like for the next 50 years. Okay, that is the end of Mayor's Report number one. Now we go to Public Works Committee. I think that is that Mr. Koch? Yes. Ken, we started you out with a bunch of stuff too.
Yeah, I got
you got to really be on, you know, sharp today.
Okay.
I'll go. PW1, Hartman Meadows consideration of acceptance. I need a motion to accept public improvements, water mains, sanitary sewer, storm sewer, paving, sidewalk, street lighting, and parkway trees, as described in the bill of sale and ownership and the maintenance by the city, and authorize reduction to the performance guarantee, resulting in a performance guarantee in the amount of $133,399.30 to cover the 1 year maintenance period, subject to verification that the developer has no outstanding debt owed to the city to this project and is subject to receipt of the signed bill of sale.
Is there a second?
Second.
That was Merrick, I believe. Any discussion? Roll call. Oh, was there discussion?
Yeah, I couldn't quite hear it because I had to repeat it. I got the gist of it.
Okay, roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, item number two, PW2, sanitary sewer lining design and construction. I need a motion to approve the 2023 sanitary sewer lining design and construction engineering agreement and authorize the mayor and clerk to execute.
Your second?
Second.
Mr. Plocher, you heard him that time, huh? Excellent. Any others have problems hearing him? Questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
PW3, water main replacement design engineering. Motion to approve the 2024 water main replacement design engineering agreements and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Seven.
Thank you, Seymour. Very nice. Discussion? Roll call.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Item number four, PW4, supplemental MFT resolution for Ball Rockville. I need a motion to approve a supplemental MFT resolution for the purchase of bulk rock salt and authorize the city clerk to execute.
Second
by Soling. And what did we do for this? $95 a ton?
Yep, for 2,100 tons, I believe.
Okay. And that's obviously, we won't know that till later this summer or maybe in the fall what the actual amount is.
Correct.
Discussion? Roll call.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Motion carries.
And item number five, ordinance authorizing the First Amendment to purchase and the sale of public works vehicles. A motion to approve the purchase and sale of public works vehicles and an ordinance authorizing the First Amendment to the annual budget of the United City of Yorkville for the fiscal year commencing on May 1, 2023, and ending on April 30th, 2024, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second
by Merrick. Any discussion? Mr. Transier?
How confident are we're going to get these vehicles without having to experience the unilateral price increases that we've had the last several years?
The first pickup, the F-150, is on order. It's here. So as soon as the vote is in, I'm going to email them and let them know that we passed it. The bigger truck, they said we're supposed to get it by winter. We'll see, but I don't think there'll be price increases. Ford has actually stepped up their F-550. Now you can't get 350s, but you can get 550s. That's not a price difference. So we're optimistic and hopeful. I don't think the price increases will be like that.
I noticed in some of the paperwork that there aren't price increases for equipment if it's paid in full. Just chassis. They don't do that either with the chassis. You can't pay it in full to eliminate the price increases?
No, because most of them aren't made yet.
Okay. So that's why we have to deal with the increases, because they're custom made.
Correct.
Okay. And we don't expect increases on this one?
I don't.
Hopeful?
I don't with Ford versus like a Peterbilt or the Mack, where it's much less production than a Ford.
Okay.
F-550.
Thank you.
Good questions. Other questions? Roll call, please.
Merrick?
Aye.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Trulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Very nice. Anything else, Mr. Koch?
Nope, that would be it.
Thank you. Economic Development Committee report. No
report.
That's even quicker. Public Safety Committee report.
No report.
Admin Committee report.
No report.
Park Board. Tim?
Just a couple updates. One, thank you for everyone attending the Margaritas in Iowa and Memorial Day ceremony this past week. Great weather, great turnout from Overland, so it's a great start to the summer season. Some upcoming events. We have our first cruise night of the year tomorrow night down at Riverfront Park. Next week, so Town Square on Wednesday, June 7th. We have obviously the ribbon cutting ceremony on June 13th, and then we have golf outing on Thursday, June 15th.
Thank you, Tim. The event yesterday was very nice, the Memorial Day event. Great turnout. And, three of the four. One was just brief. I was impressed with the junior high band. They played several tunes. They did a nice job. And then the Margaritas in Mayo event. Very nice. Yeah, great turnout for that. The weather was fantastic.
Yes.
And it's supposed to be nice tomorrow. Hot, but nice.
Yes.
Yeah. So that'll be good. Just make sure you drink a lot of water out there tomorrow. Any questions for Tim? Thank you, Tim. Planning and Zoning Commission?
No report.
I think we had our discussion earlier, right? Nice. City Council report, anyone? I found my head's more like an owl here. I got to swirl back and forth. Before, when you're closer, I could just turn a little bit. City Clerk report.
No report.
Community and Liaison report. Mr. Funkhauser.
Somebody else wants to. I have two. Had our AACBB, the Aurora Area Convention Visitors Bureau meeting this month. During that meeting, we were introducing a new staff member for the organization. We had a replacement needed. So for the sports sales manager, Brad Banks, he's a new hire. He's coming to the organization with an incredible background. So his role is to fill sports events for the region for us and, you know, bring in tournaments and other types of events. He has a pretty good background. Went to University of Iowa, named Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year, runner-up for Heisman Trophy voting. He actually did play for Washington Redskins and then went on to the Canadian Football League. So he's got a very good background in sports and athletics himself. And so he's coming out to the CBB to help us. And I think we'll see some good things come out of that, having someone with that kind of background for us. The other one, Ken Kahn. We had our joint meeting between the Executive Board and the Operations Board just the other day. That one had some good discussion in that one. A discussion point was brought up for investment of some of the monies that KenCom is sitting on. So there's ongoing discussion about how that money will be invested, and it'll be interesting to see what comes about that, but trying to make sure that the monies are protected but also invested. We're kind of starting at a point from what we have with Dirk before our investment policy. So that's kind of what we're looking at as a guide for us to work with that to make sure we're safeguarding monies for KenCom.
Thank you. Chris, I ran into court last week. I think it was last week. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago. I think last week at a ribbon cutting. He spoke very highly of you. He said he can count on you to be there, first of all, and he appreciates that. And like here, you really dig into stuff. So, and he appreciates that. So thank you. I know you're a good representative for us. Staff report, anyone?
Excuse me, we just have one. Tim has a couple event updates, or did you already cover them?
Yeah, we just did that.
Yeah.
Great, thanks. No report then.
Mayor's report continued. I have a couple, well, one actually. I just read the safe boating thing. And just say we went, several of us went to the ICSC, which is what is that, International Conference of Shopping Centers or something to that effect, in Las Vegas. And it was a good trip. Lynn, I know, had some great meetings. And we had some good meetings and got a chance to have some nice discussions with some of the new elected officials in the area, and also had a chance to have some nice discussions with some of the potential retailers, yes, and also had a chance to have some nice discussions with some members of the DuPage Water Commission. So I thought that was an outstanding opportunity for us, and they're excited to have us join them too, so I think that was good. It was a good trip, and that's some other things I'll tell y'all later. Okay, I think that's all I have for my unofficial mayor's report. Bart, do we have anything on the official city building update or water study update?
I do not have anything for either.
Well, look at there. Covered them both. Okay. Do we have any additional business? Do we have any citizen comments? Do you want to comment on some other things?
On other things, yeah. Is this time?
Yeah, other than the issue you discussed earlier? Yes. Yep. Same format. Step to the microphone. State your name again, please.
I'm Lori Hamp-Delancey. I live at 8 Plum Street in Bristol. My issue is the corner of Oak Street and Cannonball Trail in Bristol. That is now city property, and that there's a lot of traffic through there. I live, several of us live back in that old section of town, and trying to get out onto Cannonball Trail from Oak Street is impossible, because right now the bus barn, people park along Cannonball Trail, and we're trying to pull out, and you have to get the front end, you have to get all the way out into traffic in order to see what's coming from Bristol Ridge Road. There's a stop sign there, Bristol Ridge. And they start up from there. That whole block is parked with cars, sometimes double parked, but most of the time it's parked all the way up to the corner, and all the way on Oak Street also on the south side. I brought it up to Bristol Township. Their issue, their property, their jurisdiction is on the north side of Oak Street. And the south side of Oak Street is City of Yorkville. I talked to Kendall County about the traffic flow and trying to get out onto Cannonball Trail. And then I've talked to the city police. Each time someone has come out there, and the police have also told me there's been several accidents along there, right by the bus barn, in front of the bus barn is right there across the street. There's people walking across. But the biggest issue for us is being able to get out to see. You're watching the crossing the tracks, people coming from that direction, but your biggest issue is coming from the left, if you can pull right or left. You've got to get so far out into the traffic in order to see if there's traffic coming at you. I've at least four times almost been hit because I keep edging out, and then by the time you get out there, you can see there's somebody right on you. So that is my biggest concern. And then, of course, on Oak Street itself, they're parked along there, the bus barn people park all the way along there up until Roger Arnson's property. They've got some signs, no parking there, but all the way to the corner they park, and they park out so far because now there's a fence being built. Now they have to park so far out into the street that there's no way, if you're two cars are coming through there, that two vehicles can, because on the north side is the tire place, and they park in the parkway, so there's no edge of the road over there because they have vehicles parked. But now there's no edge of the road on the other side because the bus barn people are parked there. Now you have no way to get through. There's a lot of semi-traffic coming through there. There's times that we're at the corner, semis are coming around there, there's no room at all for anyone to go. So can we get, I'm asking, can we get no parking signs put on Oak Street and at least a study to see that they park further, way far back on Cannonball Trail? That is a busy street. There really shouldn't be any parking there because there, the visibility is zero. So that's what I'm asking, is some no parking signs to get no parking on Oak Street on the south side between Cross Street and Oak Street, or Cross Street and Cannonball Trail, and then on Cannonball Trail from Oak Street to Bristol Ridge Road. And that would be on the east side. Right?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
There's another problem in the same area. On Bristol Ridge and Cannonball Trail, there's going to be an event center that's going up there. And the event center is going to come out on the west side of Cannonball. Right across the street from that is where Chevron's bus service comes out. And halfway down the street, you're going to have Bristol Ridge is going to come out, Cannonball is going to come out, and they're going to meet. And 100 feet from there, you're going to have the event center, is where the event center is going to come out. Chevron train's going to come out. And then another 50 feet down the road, is where the road tracks are going to be. I think there needs to be a study, for how much traffic there is on Cannonball and Bristol Ridge. The traffic on there on the weekend is even worse than it is on the day. The daily traffic, it's really heavy. And I'm concerned about the event center opening up the traffic on Cannonball, because it's really a busy road. Cannonball is named Cannonball for a reason. Everybody takes Cannonball to Bristol. And it's going to be, like they said, they've had two wrecks in the last 2 weeks. Just the accept train itself with people coming out of there, not with their buses, but with their personal cars. And you can't see because there's a telephone pole from right there. And they pull out, and there's people coming from the north to the south, and they pull out in front of cars. And twice, I think, the New Yorkville police have had to come out there and with accidents. There is a problem with folks getting out there, because I don't even go that way anymore. I'm down there on Open Cross, and I'll go out across it and come on Bristol Ridge because it's so dangerous. Matter of fact, I work at Chef Train, and when I walk down the street to get on the buses, I've been hit just about twice. Because what happens is, when one car from Cannonball comes out, Cannonball has to stop at the stop sign. When one car comes from Cannonball and stops, and one car at Bristol Ridge stops, one will pull out and then one will pull out behind it. And you can't, because of the other cars parked on the side of the road, you can't see both cars. So you have to go off the road, and you think, I'm clear, the first car, and you go to step out, here comes the second car right behind it. So twice I've just about been hit just as a pedestrian, not only crossing that road. So it is a dangerous spot right now. And then the other thing is, I live on Cross and Oak, and the event center is going to back up to my yard. And the noise is going to be really bad for me. They're going to have an event center there with loud music on the weekend. it's bad enough for me because right across the street, they've got a business area where they change tires and service trucks all during the week. And the only time I get to rest from the noise is during the weekend. So on the weekend, they're going to have the event center there with weddings. So the only 2 days I get off from a lot of music and stuff, it's going to be an event center that's playing music all the time. So I don't know. I wish they wouldn't put it there. But I know they've got a lot of money already put into it and everything else, but they're not thinking of the people who live in that area when they put it up there. And the parking, they say they're going to have 100 people in the event center. Where are they going to put the cars? Because they're not going to put it up and down the street from Bristol because there's just no place to put them. I've had the township come up, but no parking in front of my house because I found out that the road in Bristol is actually off the location and runs through my yard. So I was able to get them, put no parking there. But Bristol's small enough the way it is, and they're trying to put too much stuff in one area. We've got Stepton train, Stepton bus service across the street. There's 50 buses in there that run daily, and now they're going to put the event center across the street from it. And you've got the Cannonball Trail running right through the middle of town. We're just getting too much stuff in there right now. And across the street from me, which you guys don't have any control over, it's Campbell County, but I've got 15 semis running up and down Oak Street. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, I get woke up by semis. So Bristol all of a sudden been everybody's dumping area looking at. I know there's nothing you guys can do about it, but give me a little break and see if you can get a little bit of the traffic off of Cannonball. I know you've already dumped Chef Train on me, and now you're going to put this event center across the street from it, and there's no way to get, you know. Our streets are only one lane streets. And if I come down my road to go into my garage, I have to get off the side of the road if somebody's coming up there. It's not a two-lane street, but one lane. So I don't know what you're going to do about the event center. I guess they've got it all the cement poured, and from what I understand, Kansas County's already approved it. I don't know whether you guys are going to approve it or not, probably. So it's just too much area for where we're at right now.
Thank you. Any other citizen comments?
This is in regards to the event center that's going in.
Let me just stop. Christy, has an event center been approved?
No.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, we were told by the Bristol Township that he talked to county, and they said that they pulled all the permits to do that area.
So that is a city, and this is not something I normally do, but I want to make this real clear. That is a city property. It has not been approved for an event center.
Okay, that's the way I understood last when I spoke to somebody. So a couple of our concerns, can I speak about it even though it's not?
You can, it's not been approved though.
Okay. I just want to know some things like the parking, you know, how is it going to affect all of our neighborhoods? Because when they can't park in their little parking lot, they're going to be parking up and down our streets. Are they going to have policemen, policing these people? Are there going to be, is there going to be liquor served on these, at these party events? Will they have a liquor license, you know? Will there be, with the fence that they've already put up, it's a cross fence. It's not a, it will not hold, keep 4-year-olds in. You know what I mean? It's right along busy Cannonball Trail and Bristol Ridge Road. It's right there at the corner And I mean, we not only the traffic and the parking, if they do have it, you're going to have children run out into the street, because I have triplet 4-year-old grandbabies, and I'm telling you what, there, you know, it takes a lot to, I mean, you just miss a second and they get dark. So, you know, that is a concern. Biggest concern is the noise, the parking and the noise. We have not been notified or anything. They just started doing this. We, you know, it's going to affect all of us in that direct vicinity. We all have residences right there. And so, yeah, the loud music, will they be stopping at a certain time at night? Traffic control, liquor license, you know, deadline to shut down the parties, and because it's right outside of our bedroom windows. So anyway, that's our concern. We'll be watching. They haven't come to you at all for this.
Why don't we talk to Chrissy after the meeting? This is not really a give and take session. I kind of broke my own rules, but
all right.
Why don't we talk to Chrissy afterwards so you can get a better understanding?
Okay. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. It is an odd little section there that's in Yorkville. That was done. What did we find out? That was annexed how many years ago?
21, 22?
Yeah.
Jason and I were looking at it. It's probably more late 90s.
Yeah. Heck, it might have been Bob Johnson. I should have asked him when he was here. Okay. Any other comments? No need for executive session. We are now adjourned. Thank you.
Roll call?
No, no roll call. Everyone said aye.
Aye.